Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll go into our message. Father God, as we conclude our series with the words of Jesus in the way that he concluded his Sermon on the Mount, Father, I pray that we would be able to dig into scriptures and mine the jewels that are hidden within. Father, we pray as we look at scriptures, it would not just be about wisdom or counsel, but it would be about how you want us to proceed in our individual walk with you, how we are to apply that wisdom and that counsel into our own respective situations, Lord. And Father, I stand before you just a mere erring human being. I want to ask that you will empower me to speak, that you will use me, and that whatever is shared today will only come from you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So growing up, and those of you who have who know me, you probably remember that I'm from New Jersey. I grew up there 20 years. And one of my fond memories that I have is, I don't know if you know this, but New Jersey actually has a lot of nice beaches, right? And New Jersey has this nickname, which I think is the misnomer, in that New Jersey, people say, is the armpit of America, right? It's the armpit of America. But did you know it's actually also the official, what do you call it? The nickname for that is the Garden State, because there's a lot of nature in New Jersey. And one of that is basically they have a lot of nice beaches. They have very strict laws against pollution and stuff like that. In fact, New Jersey has the second strictest environmental laws in the United States, next to California. And so I remember going to the beaches in New Jersey. And I know we have our own beaches. I've been to McFadden Beach, Crystal Beach, and Pleasure Island. I cannot consider those beaches, right? Because I've seen some nice ones. And whenever I go there, because I love the beach so much, I sometimes go there, but I find myself kind of being still disappointed. But in times of desperation, I guess I'll just have to do. But my favorite beach in New Jersey was a place called Sandy Hook. And that's not the picture, but it was just almost, it was almost an island. It was connected by just a small strip of land, but it was almost an island. On one side you had the bay, and the other side you had the Atlantic Ocean, where basically you saw waves. And the first time I went there was when my aunt took us climbing. Now, this is before we became Adventists, and this is before we had any kind of religion. She would take us to Sandy Hook, and on the bayside, there was like a rich harvest of clams, and I remember her taking us there. But on the other side, you find jetties where you can fish, and you can build sandcastles, and that's where we spent most of our time. Probably my favorite thing to do was going fishing in Sandy Hook, and I remember sometimes standing on the jetties, thinking that of the great amount of fish I would catch. And at one time, in ignorance, I thought I would catch a great big tuna, because back then I had a set of encyclopedias, and when I looked through about fish, I saw that fish lived in the Atlantic Ocean, and I was thinking, I'm going to catch a monster of a tuna, not knowing usually they kind of live in deeper waters. And as a kid, really, I never caught anything, with the exception of one time I accidentally hooked a starfish, and I thought I had caught the biggest fish in the world, because it was not coming in, only to find out it was a small starfish that had been stuck on the side of a jetty. But I did catch something. My second favorite thing when I wasn't fishing was to build sandcastles. And I learned early on that to build a sandcastle, you need it to be kind of close to water, right? Because water is an important element of building sandcastle. If the sand is too dry, it really doesn't shape well. And I know you've seen those competitions where basically they build elaborate sandcastles with details, whether a face or an animal or a building. But did you know that's actually not native sand? That's actually a special kind of dirt that they import for those special events so that they can actually shape and mold that. And so when I built my sandcastles, I would go near the water so that I wouldn't have to go too far to get my source of wet sand or water. And at times, I remember, like, I got pretty fancy. I would spend hours and hours digging and molding, and sometimes I would even make bridges with water flowing under it. I would have tunnels that I connected to different villages, and I would have towers and roads. And there were even times I would find little pebbles and line the streets, my sandy streets, with these pebbles to make more of a cobblestone street. Sometimes I would even do that with my walls. But eventually I noticed something. As time progressed, the waves would come closer and closer. As the tides began to rise, those waves got ever closer to my precious sandcastles. And as the waves started to endanger my creation, I would start to build around the castle. I would start to build these thick walls as high as I could. And once I built that, I would go to a little bit further down, build another wall. And sometimes I would build three or four walls, knowing that the waves were coming and my sandcastle was in danger. There are times that I would even reinforce my walls with some of the wood that I would find on the beach. But as you can guess, it didn't actually take long for those waves to destroy my walls of sand. But there are times I was determined to protect my castle. When one wall would fall, immediately I would just grab some other sand and try to repair this wall of sand as much as possible. And other times when it was pointless, I would go behind that wall and try to build another one to prevent the waves from coming in. But it was futile. Eventually, the waves always won. Within minutes, my sand creations washed away, only leaving a small sump, a lump of sand as evidence that anything was ever built there. And even that small lump would eventually wash away. And as a child, I learned that anything made of sand or built on sand would not endure. Jesus, in concluding his Sermon on the Mount, concludes by stating this in Luke chapter 6, verse 47 to 48, and we'll go to 49. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation up on the rock. And when there was a flood, the river burst against the house, and yet it would not shake because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like the man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, and the river burst against it and immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. So, for the key word of the day, I know it's a big word, kids. The key word of the day is foundation. 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 If you don't know how to spell it, you can ask your parents. If not, just sound it out. Key word of the day is foundation. So Jesus says, whoever comes and hears my words. Now, what words is he talking about? Is he talking about generically what's found in scriptures? Is he talking about his conversation? What the words that he's talking about is the words that he has just preached. On the Sermon on the Mount, he says, if you have heard these things, if you have heard my message, if you have heard this sermon, and you only hear but do not do them. And he goes on to explain the situation. The instructional message that he had just given, he's calling the people to put to practice what he has shared. And to illustrate this point, Jesus gives the example of two builders. The first person, built his house upon the rock. And the second person, he built his house upon the sand. So, in the first illustration, in the first person's incident, Jesus says, whoever comes to me and does what? Hears my sayings and acts on them. I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house. So he breaks down, he basically says two things. If you come to me, there's two things that should be happening. If you hear my sayings, you must act on them. Then he said, and he compares this, he makes a comparison of hearing and acting upon this example of the first man where he builds a house. So the sequence that Jesus has just shared is that if you have heard, then you must what? The action is initiated by the hearing of the words. And so this is going to be important when we apply this lesson that Jesus is trying to teach, the hearing followed by action. So if we apply this instruction to the building of a house, verse 48 says this, I will show you whom he is like a man building a house. I don't think I had the rest of it. It's okay. Building a house, who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock, and when there was a flood, the river, and you get the idea. In the second illustration, sorry. So in verse 48, when we apply this the application of building a house, of hearing and acting, the next verse doesn't start out with hearing, but it actually starts out with of building. Now, if we transfer this line of thought, what comes before the action? Hearing. If in the building, in the illustration of the first person, he starts off by building. So we must assume that he has already done what? Heard, right? So that becomes kind of important in this interpretation, because even though it is not mentioned that he has heard the instruction, it is implied already based on the previous verses, because the instruction of Jesus, if you hear, you must act. And the fact that the next verse, the builder is already acting, which is building, it is assumed and implied that he has already heard the instructions how to build. Does that make sense? In the second example, before I even say that. So when the first builder builds his house, why does he build dig deep? And why does he build upon the rock? Because that's the instruction that he had been given. It's not so much his own wisdom or his own experience. He has heard these instructions, and he's just following the instructions of whoever has given it to him. And this is the reason why this builder digs deep and he builds upon the rock, because he had been instructed to do so. He had heard, now he is acting. In verse 49, it's a little bit different, right? There's a second example, but the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who has built a house on the ground without a foundation. So in the second illustration, the person, he too has heard the instructions of how to build, but he is different in that he does not act. Well, that's a partial answer. He does act to some degree, because the story says, the illustration says, he also does build. But he only acts in part. He knew that he should have built the foundation, but for whatever reason, he chose to build it his way. Now, so we know that this was not a sin of ignorance, for we know that he had been given the instructions just like the first person. He knew that he should have built a house with a foundation to dig deep, but he chose to do it his way. Now, this is very important in the sense that rather than trust the plans that he had been given, he took it upon himself to build it his way. And it's interesting that the second person, the reality is he did build a house. He took time, effort, energy, and presumably even money to build a house. Presumably, a house has walls, so he built walls. He built a roof. He put a door. He put a flooring in. Maybe he even decorated and furnished a house to be lived in. He worked and worked to build this house, but it was incomplete because he neglected the most important part, the foundation. The foundation, the rock that houses were built upon, ultimately represented Christ, our rock, our salvation. Paul himself says this, according to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise builder, I laid a foundation, and none other is building upon it. He's referring to basically the work, the gospel work. But that each person must be careful how he builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I thought about what does it mean to make Christ our foundation. I think we all have these things that we say all the time, but when you think about it, sometimes we don't know what it means. And I had to think about what does it mean to make Christ our foundation. For one, the way I apply to my own life is this. We must make, in all that we do, it starts with Jesus. For one, the plan of salvation really began before the world was even created. Scriptures tells us that. Even before sin happened, God had a plan of salvation for us. So it started ultimately with Jesus. Also, your sin, my sin, we're forgiven not because of anything we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. We are pointed to Jesus on the cross as a promise that he is the one that paid for your sin and my sin. So salvation ultimately starts and ends with Jesus. So this is the conclusion that we can come to. Because Jesus saved us, and we can use a synonym and say, because he redeemed us with his life for our life, would you say we belong to him? We do. We are his. So by the virtue of redemption, we belong to Jesus. But the Bible also tells us that we are created by him. John chapter 1 speaks of that Jesus was also their creation. And so by the virtue of creation, we also belong to Jesus. So we belong to Jesus two times over, by the fact that he created us and by the fact that he redeemed us. So which ultimately points us to the fact that we owe everything to Jesus. Knowing that we belong to Jesus, knowing what we owe to Jesus, shouldn't it be logical that every decision that we make, every action we take, should be motivated to honor and to glorify God? We are to be guided by the study of scriptures as our foundation and the knowledge of God's will as a starting place so that we may know to do God's will. So to make Christ our foundation points us back to Jesus. It starts with Jesus. Everything that we do must be built upon glorifying God. in this parable, the second person represented a crowd listening to Jesus, because when he says, preaches his message, there's a crowd listening to him. And there were many there who was listening, and maybe they even had some important positions in the synagogue. Maybe they were respected individuals, but there were many there on the surface. They had a form of religion, and maybe they even, it's likely they had many good works because many of them prided on it. So outwardly, they were pious, but at the end of the day, it was all an illusion. Like the house built upon the sand, much effort, time, energy, and money had been invested on the outward appearance, but it was not built to endure. All their good works, their efforts to maintain a form of godliness on the outside, a form of piousness outwardly, would eventually be forgotten and their names forgotten. They had not built upon the rock, but they had built upon the sands of their own doing, upon the sands of worldliness. But there were also among the crowd listening to Jesus that would hear his words and then they would act upon them. The first builder represented this group of people. They heard and they acted. They heard and they were doers. And we call this faith. By faith, they built as they were instructed. Even if they went, it was a difficult thing to do. Even if it went against their own logic, they trusted the instructions of the one who had given it. And by faith, they built as they had heard. According to Matthew's account, the wise man built upon the rock. And you know that song, "The wise man built his house upon the rock." I think we all know it. Comes from Matthew, "The wise man built a house upon a rock." But Luke gives a little bit, some additional details, in that the wise man built his house upon the rock by digging deep. See, it wasn't so much that they had found some rocks and just built on it. Luke tells us that there was sand, and in order to build a house, the man began digging deep into the sand until he reached solid ground, solid rock to build. I remember as a kid, my mom had this huge garden in New Jersey, and literally one third of our backyard was probably garden. And you know who helped dig all that up by hand? Yours truly. And it wasn't any kind of sandy soil; it was clay soil. It was back-breaking work. So I think those of us who have done some manual labor digging understand how difficult, how back-breaking it could be to dig. It's no easy work. But which tells us, if the wise man dug deep, it tells us that to follow Jesus is not always the easiest path, but is the best path. We often want to take the easiest road, the road of less resistance, but I find that more times than not, the way to Jesus is not always the easiest, but it is always the right one. Scriptures tells us that as the rains fell and the winds blew, the floods came, that this house that was built upon the rock stood firm because it was on a solid foundation. It was built to last. And so it is with us. We are to build upon a solid foundation, Christ our rock. And when the winds of temptation comes, because we have Jesus as our foundation, we can stand firm, unyielding to temptation, because we are connected to Jesus as our foundation. And when the storms of trials come, crashing upon our house, we will endure because Jesus is our foundation. When we are weak, as we have Jesus as our foundation, he will make us strong. When we are anxious, he will give us peace. When we are unsure, he will be our surety that all things will ultimately work together for good for those who love him. To summarize, the message that for us is this, and I will make four short points and I will conclude. One, when we hear the words of Jesus, the counsel given to us is that we are not to pick and choose which principles we are to follow. It is our nature to pick the ones that we can do or we like to do. But when God gives us eternal principles, it's not for us to pick and choose. To do so would be building our house upon the sand. So we are to accept the entirety of the principles of Jesus, the principles of his teachings. Two, a religion that only changes people on the surface is not from God. True religion, as is founded upon Jesus, goes much deeper. It doesn't change just the outward appearance of a person or the outward actions of a person. It goes deeper into changing our character, changing our hearts. Because true religion, if we truly have Jesus in our lives, there's a deep-rooted change that takes place. Number three, it is only as we are connected to Jesus as our foundation where we can stand firm against the winds of temptations and storms of trials. We are each tempted in our own way. We each face our own trials. But unless we stand with Jesus, we would never succeed. But if Jesus if we are walking with Jesus and we are standing upon the foundation that is Jesus, there's nothing that he cannot do with us. I love that promise in Scripture. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation make a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. It's a promise. Finally, anything that is not built upon Christ will not endure. Back in 2008, and some of you may remember Hurricane Ike, and in Texas, in Gilchrist, Texas, when Hurricane Ike hit, this house was the only house standing. It was known as the last house standing. Now, if you go a couple of blocks back, there are some other houses. But in this strip, the hundreds of houses, or I don't know how many there are, like when Hurricane Ike hit, this was the only house that survived. Storm surge hit about 22 feet above sea level. But this house survived. You know why? It had the right foundation. They had built with pillars high enough to endure the storm. And these pillars were on a solid foundation. So even if when a hurricane hit, this house survived. I think this house illustrates the importance of having the right foundation in our lives. My prayer for us is that your foundation and my foundation may be rock, maybe that Christ our rock. Let's pray. Father God, as we reflect upon your teachings, as we ponder the principles of scriptures that we are to learn and apply in our lives, I guess my simple prayer is this: whatever we get out of this message that we have shared this morning, at the end of the day, may we make Christ our foundation. May everything start with Jesus first, Lord. May our motivation, may our actions, may our purpose, may our desires ultimately come from a desire to glorify and to honor God. And may our lives be not just be transformed on the surface, but may our lives be transformed much deeper. May our characters be changed. May our hearts be changed to reflect more and more Jesus. This is our prayer, God. May, by faith, we believe that you can make it so, and that this will be a reality. We ask these things in the name of Jesus.